Hello and welcome. You're listening to Unceded Airwaves, which broadcasts every week from the traditional, ancestral, unceded lands of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people on CITR 101.9 FM. You're listening to Season 2, Episode 28 of Unceded Airwaves. My name is Mario, the host for today. I identify as Niska and of European settler ancestry from my father. I am also a student here at UBC. On today's show, I will share two pre-recorded segments. Firstly, an interview I did with June and Stephen, organizers of the Vancouver Indigenous Media Arts Festival 2017. And the second segment is a radio doc that I produce for a series here at CITR called A Fireside Chat with Julian Napoleon, which we go over a conversation around Indigenous food sovereignty. We are the Indigenous Collective. Every week, we discuss Indigenous issues, current events, and entertainment. We are a collective of Indigenous and non-Indigenous students who use our weekly airtime for our own self-representation. We strive to center Indigenous voices on our show and build narratives that empower Indigenous people. Self-representation in media is something that Indigenous people do not often have access to. This show gives us the opportunity to share and define who we are as Indigenous people. Indigenous cultures are incredibly diverse, and the nuances of our diversity are not always represented in mainstream broadcast media. It can be difficult to find positive Indigenous role models in popular media. So, this show offers an opportunity to highlight some influential Indigenous people. If you can relate to the goals of our show and are wondering how to get involved, please reach out. You can always reach us on our social media, Facebook and Twitter. If you have a voice for decolonization, then we want to hear from you. Everyone is welcome, and there is no experience necessary. Our weekly meeting during the summer is at CITR in the lower level of the Nest, just after the show ends at 12 p.m. noon. If you're aware of a great Indigenous artist, send us a tweet using the hashtag #UnceededMusic or send us a Facebook message at Unceded Airwaves, and we'll do our best to get it on air. And if we play a song that you send us, we'll give you a shout-out. We're always looking to hear from our listeners about what you're up to, so let us know about any Indigenous artists that you're into right now and what events you're attending or promoting. As always, we'll post a link to the podcast of this episode after the show. We'll have our weekly Unceded events listing to share a little later in the show. As always, we want to recognize those occupying their territories through direct action, such as the Matty Lee of the Gitxsan Nation, Unistoten of the Wet'suwet'en peoples, those occupying Liulu Island in Tsimshian territory, the Chilcotin Nation, who are legally battling the Tisiko mines, and those fighting to protect the Peel River watershed. We always want to thank our show's sponsors, NORAD Electric and Decolonizing Water Project. We wouldn't be able to continue doing the work of community radio without them. So NORAD Electric has been formed 30 years ago. It's owned and operated by Norman Day of the Tahltan Nation. Norman has been involved in the electrical field for over 30 years. Also, the Decolonizing Water Project aims to support water security for Indigenous communities. The project is funded by Social Science and Humanities Research Council. The project will run from 2016 to 2023 and brings together leading Indigenous thinkers, natural scientists, artists, lawyers, and community members. Rooted in Indigenous law, it will use the most innovative Western scientific advancements in monitoring technology to create a hybridized water governance and monitoring program. Aswillawillina, what is up? This is Mario on the land correspondent with Unceded Airwaves at CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting to you from the unceded and ancestral territories of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam peoples. This is a pre-recorded interview conducted on May 28th at the Vancouver Public Library, Natsimot Branch, for the closing ceremony of the Vancouver Indigenous Media Arts Festival 2017. Today, I am joined by Stephen and June for the closing ceremony. Maybe we'll start with Stephen, and how would you like to introduce yourself, and then we'll carry over to June.
Thank you, and thank you for having us today. I'm Stephen Eastman. I'm Ojibwe Anishinaabe from northern Manitoba, but I am fortunate enough to be born and raised here on the beautiful lands of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh Nation, and feel blessed to be here.
Dansei Kiowau, June Scudler, Niatagasin, the Shapanak, Red River, Manitoba, Batoche, Saskatchewan, Egwa, Castelfranco, Veneto, Italy, Otsinia. Hello, my name is June Scudelaire. My maternal Métis ancestors come from Red River, what is now Winnipeg, and from Batoche, Saskatchewan, and my dad's Italian. And I was born in Merritts, but I grew up in Metro Vancouver. And thanks for having us.
Thank you. So one of the questions, though, right off the start, why is it important to have an Indigenous Media Arts Festival here in Vancouver?
Because there's so much amazing work that's being done by members of our community. So many amazing, not only film, but new media, and the diverse amount of media arts that's happening in so many different mediums is important that we have a place to showcase it all and have a place for us to be able to create a safe space to be able to share our stories.
And, I mean, I just want to emphasize that Vancouver is such a hub for media arts. There's actually, Kristen Dowell wrote Sovereign Screens, which is a whole book about the new media scene in Vancouver, which has been happening for quite a while. So we're doing a lot of cutting-edge stuff in Vancouver. I mean, Toronto gets a lot of attention, but really, I think Vancouver is where it's happening, especially for new media.
Fantastic. And what, over the past few days, have people had a chance to see with the VIMAF 2017?
We were fortunate to work with Shane Point, a Musqueam knowledge keeper, who gave us the name Natsamut. So we called three witnesses, which is following Coast Salish protocol. So we had Raven John, Loretta Todd, who's been a real leader for many years in media arts, and Marie Prince, who is one of the founders of the VIMAF Festival. So we really wanted to locate ourselves in Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh territory. So we just didn't want to be like another festival. And, you know, it's like, how do we reflect Coast Salish protocols in our festival? Like, what does it mean to be an uninvited guest on this territory? So that was a very integral part of our festival.
And what does that mean, Natsamut? Can you go over that a little bit more in depth?
So Natsamut means we are one, and it was gifted to us by Shane Point. And for us, we felt it was such an important time to expand upon that idea and really explore about what does it mean for us as a community, not only as an Indigenous peoples, but as a world community, how do we come all together? And we are one speaks to that, and it means that we are all one. As Shane was saying earlier today, we are one family. We are the human race. We are in this together.
I also had a chance to view the VIMAF Indigenous Justice Program that you had earlier this afternoon. Part of it was a screening of a film. Can you tell me a little bit about that film?
So we have a programming committee, and we just, we felt it was really important to have social justice as a special part of the screening. We wanted to honor how important the Chilcotin land claim case is. And, of course, Standing Rock has been getting so much media attention, but we really wanted to make sure it was from an Indigenous perspective that the Standing Rock documentary was shown. So it's more like trying to get, kind of getting away from the sensationalism around Standing Rock and just kind of showing the stories of the people at Standing Rock. So just kind of a more Indigenous way of looking at it.
And the day before that was actually the virtual reality.
Yeah.
Can you tell me a bit about that? I had a chance to come in a little bit late. I missed part of the opening, so you're going to have to fill me in. Yeah.
So we were able to showcase two really exciting apps that are coming out. One is the Wikipedia. So it uses a location-based geography GPS with your phone, and it allows people to upload stories from their traditional knowledge. And what it makes you do is go and visit the place where the story is related to. You can then use your phone through augmented reality to interact with the story. There'll be uploads of video or stories through audio or through text-based. But really, the idea behind that one is have a placekeeper for these stories, so they are able to be shared more widely and in a respectful manner. So that's really exciting. The other one was the Standing Rock virtual reality, where Michael Running Wolf and his wife Caroline were at Standing Rock, and they have 360 views of what happened there, and you can actually use any Android or iPhone and use a Google Cardboard and pop it in and look around like you were there.
It was really great to hear Michael and Caroline talking about being at Standing Rock and how they really wanted to focus on the people that were there and just how people were preparing food and people would donate food and people would just kind of, you know, take the food out of the truck and disperse it to different camps and people would cook food together and how the internet was blocked and so people would stand, you know, sit and tell stories and sing songs. Yeah, so it was more, they really wanted to tell those stories. Yeah.
Now, I came in just a little bit late, but nevertheless, I was still hanging out. And one of the unique things that I've noticed about being at now a few of the events is that there's lots of children around. And I think that's really important to kind of see. And it was brought up once. Can you tell us a little bit why it's important to have children present during ViMath?
I think it is really important to be able to create space that children and families feel welcome. I think our people in general, we go as family units. And to create that space where people feel comfortable to be there as a family is really important. It's kind of funny, though. We've never really had a discussion around being pro-family.
Yeah.
It's just that we don't have any reservations of not having kids there. It's just part of our culture that we just accept the fact that we're going to have kids present because that's what we do. We share in these experiences as families.
Yeah, and then our festival directors, Curtis Clear Sky and his partner Tia, who's on our board, you know, they brought their family and the kids were always around and yeah, so it was kind of great. Yeah, and I think the kind of the cutest thing was at the opening, which we had on Granville Island, that I don't know how old Tia and Curtis's son is, but he's, I don't know, 8 or something. He was helping to stack chairs and even like the little kid was trying to stack chairs but couldn't quite lift them, but they were all pitching it. It was quite wonderful, yeah.
Great to see the entire community involved in every bit of the process. Now, who were some of your supporters and sponsors throughout the event?
So one of the nice things was Louis Gong, who lives in Seattle and is a Native American designer, donated blankets so we could do blankets, give a blanket to Shane Point and our witnesses. So that was quite amazing. We also have Squatch Eyes Lodge and Aboriginal Hotel and Gallery, which donated some rooms.
We also had the SFU's Van City Office of Community Engagement, so they were key in having the space available for us at SFU Woodward so that we could use the cinema free of charge, so they were a very important sponsor.
Yeah.
We also had Great Canadian Gaming Corporation and Aboriginal Tourism Association of Canada.
And our friends at CCEC Credit Union, yay, on Commercial Drive. And also we reached out to the film community, which went really well. So we got funding from the IATSE Local 669, Directors Guild of BC, and the Union of BC Performers and ACTRA. And it was kind of cool. Carmen Moore is here, and she's, people watch Blackstone, so Carmen Moore was in Blackstone, so she came here on behalf of ACTRA. So that was kind of cool.
And then we also had our supporting sponsor, the Vancouver Public Library, with the Natsamat Strathcona branch. So they were wonderful enough to let us use this brand new space in Strathcona. The Natsamat Library, which just so happened to have the same name as our festival this year. It was just a wonderful surprise. And we were talking to the library about possibly using some of their space throughout the city. And lo and behold, they happen to have the same name as our festival this year. So it's a wonderful space. It's beautiful.
And the BC Arts Council. So, and also about this library, it's just got that great room in the back, and it seems like it's kind of, apparently the shelves could move to make space. So.
Oh, and actually one of the big things about here is, which is great for us, is they have recording studios and digital space makers. So you can go in and do audio recordings and do the digital video editing and the like, so that's great.
So I just wanted to mention the media room. It's named after Bud Osborne, who is a local poet. He lived on the downtown east side, really involved in social justice issues, so it's kind of cool. He just passed away not that long ago, so I'm glad to see the media lab being called Bud Osborne, named after Bud Osborne.
Well, I'm glad that you brought that up, that there's still more space available for new artists and people who want to be able to create some new media to come on down to the Natsamat Vancouver Public Library branch, and that you're hosting part of the event here too at such a new space. Now, I was wondering, how might people be able to stay involved or connect with BIMAF in the future? Will this be continuing on throughout the year?
Yeah, so we're always looking for more people that want to volunteer, get involved with the board. If anybody wants more information, they can email us at info@bimaf.ca. That's info@bimaf.ca. And then throughout the year, we just want to make sure that we stick around and are available for people to come and interact with us. So June's actually working on a really cool project.
So I'm co-curating, along with Lacey Burney, who's also on our board. We're co-curating a show at the Queer Arts Festival on June 23rd. So we commissioned new work by Thirza Cuthand, who's a Cree filmmaker, and also Chandra Melchingtalo, who's a Blackfoot performance artist. And also we're showing a short by Kent Monkman and one by Raven Davis. And we're also working with Doxa.
Yeah, so I'm working with Doxa right now on behalf of IMAF, and we are partnering with the Vancouver Civic Theatres to do an outdoor screening at the Queen Elizabeth Theatre in their plaza. As of right now, we can't announce what the film will be because of contracts, but it's going to be an amazing...
Yeah, I'm so excited.
It's going to be an amazing event, and we hope to get lots of community members out, Indigenous, non-Indigenous, and what we're going to be showing in partnership with Doxa is a film not to be missed.
Yes. Yes, I know what it is, and do not miss it.
Fantastic. Well, we won't miss it. Now, just as we're closing, is there any final words that you'd like to share with the audience before we go? Anything important that I might have missed about the festival itself?
Or? Well, I guess of course, the cultural appropriation has come up again with the Right magazine and the, Hal Nedzwiecki writing about cultural appropriation is okay and Indigenous writers pushing back. So again, it's just so important to have a space for Indigenous voices to be heard, especially to other Indigenous people. I think that's very important. Yeah,
I would just echo that we are committed to creating space for Indigenous artists to be able to share their stories in a way that we can involve community members from all walks of life and do so in a respectful way. Like, these stories that the community is making art out of are meant to be shared, and we want to be able to create that space and make it accessible for all people and come together and enjoy the art together.
And I love Loretta Todd posted on Facebook. She said this. So for us, it's very important to be a grassroots organization, because Imaginative is the one in Toronto is huge, it's very corporate. So we want to try to keep it as grassroots as possible. And she said that BIMAF was by the people, for the people. So I thought that was a big compliment. So yeah, that's important to us.
Now, throughout the interview, we've heard children running around and playing, but we can also hear some music.
DJ Kukum is an amazing DJ here in Vancouver. Headlines at one of the local clubs every week, and she's was also at our After Dark party last night, where we had Kelly Fraser, JB the First Lady, DJ Muckluck. So some amazing
Counting Coup, who's is Chandra Melchingtalo, and oh my God, she was like, I've never seen her perform before, and she does like this kind of lo-fi electronic that's very like mesmerizing and intense. Yeah, it was like, wow. Yeah. So yeah.
Awesome. I guess this is a really good time to send out our plug. If there's any Indigenous music artists that you think that we should know about and be playing on air, contact us at #unseatedairwaves, #unseatedmusic. Once again, this is Mario here with Unseated Airwaves, CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting to you from the unceded and ancestral territories of the Halkomelem speaking Musqueam peoples. You just heard from June and Stephen at the Vancouver Indigenous Media Arts Festival 2017, and this is a pre-recorded interview conducted on May 28th at the Vancouver Public Library Natsumut branch for the closing ceremony of the BIMAF 2017.
Son of the sun, son of the earth, soul of life, children of the wood, daughters of starlight, and daughters of mirth, sisters of sunlight, sisters of earth, brothers of nature, brothers of old, brothers of legend, and the story untold. I had a dream, a mile of core, they laid to rest with a gun and a sword, buried the hatchet, buried the snake, bowed to each other, peace to make. The earth supplies and nature feeds, but we turn and quake for artificial needs. Come down to earth and stay a while. The sun is shining, just sit there and smile. I'm a brown-skinned man, that's what I am. Got a guitar and a drum, that's where I come from. Spirit of the sun, spirit of the sea, worthy of the shadow, come shine down on me. Sun, sun of the earth, soul of life, children of the world, brothers of nature, brothers of old, brothers of legend and story untold, daughters of starlight, daughters of earth, sunlight, sisters of birth. I had a dream, a mile of gold, they laid to rest with gun and a sword, they buried the hatchet, they buried the snake, they bowed to each other, peace to make. Oh, son of the sun,
father at an all-time low. Why is it acceptable? Yo, why? I don't know. Why she blame him and he blame her? It's useless. Ask yourself this question. Why you making excuses? Why do parents gotta bury their kids? Why we text and drive, not caring how scary it is? Why it's so hard to forgive and leave the past behind? And if you did, then that's divine. Why don't you help your brother when you see him fall? Why do we act like God don't see it all? Why do we call them black, them white, them Asians and use labels? Now that's racism.
I don't want no hoe in it.
Why?
I don't want no hoe in it. Yo, why? I don't want no hoe in it.
Why?
I don't want no hoe in it. Yo, why? I don't want no hoe in it.
Why?
I don't want no hoe in it. Yo, why? I don't want no hoe in it.
Why?
I don't want no hoe in it. Yo, why?
Why is there innocent people locked up for life while some people can't say nothing nice? Why do we always gotta question what all of it means? And why won't you follow your dreams? Tell me why. The night when you took my dad, why'd you let me see my grandpa cry? And tell me why. And why do you choose to hide, even though you was born to fly? And tell me why. And why don't we turn from all the hate? And why don't we learn from all mistakes? Why do I keep on wrecking these fat beats? And teachers don't make more than professional athletes. And why?
Yeah. So, you know, I've been on this real long journey of, like, I need to go through this process myself. And it's become this huge thing in my life. And, you know, the past few years I've been trying, going out hunting a lot on my own. And I always appreciate that time out in the woods and the land and in my territory. There's this thing, and you've probably experienced it, but when, for myself, when I go back to my territory and I'm out on the land, especially by myself, and I take that time to slow down, I can, like, feel the presence of my ancestors. And I know that sounds like some cheesy, cliche thing to say, but, like, it is real. Like, I can feel it. And it's so powerful. Sometimes I just have to, like, sit down and take some time and just feel it, because they're there, you know? We've been there since time immemorial, since the time before time. And how could you not feel that? You know, if you have an open heart and an open spirit and mind, it's right there.
CITR 101.9 FM. We began our story today with a reflection from Julian Napoleon, a student in the Faculty of Land and Food Systems at UBC. Julian is a member of the Working Group for Indigenous Food Sovereignty, and in our conversation about that, Julian shared a story on Denizov food gathering and cross-cultural trade.
Essentially, what the Working Group on Indigenous Food Sovereignty is interested in is strengthening those relationships between Indigenous people and their respective landscapes, and also that kind of cross-cultural connection between different Indigenous groups. There's been a lot of work done in the area of revitalizing traditional trade routes, which is something that's super interesting to me, you know, working outside of this kind of techno-bureaucratic, neoliberal, capitalist imposition that all of us are forced to exist in. And just like connecting with our beautiful foods and sharing them across communities, I think is such a beautiful thing. So,
what does that look like to you in practice?
Well, you know, Mario, you showed up at my house today bringing some ulekin, which I know is such a significant part of your culture, and some beautiful canned sockeye. And, you know, immediately I feel that need for reciprocity and gave you some of my wild blueberry jam. You know, that actually brings me to a story I was meaning to share with you that goes hand in hand with that jam.
To help contextualize what Julian was talking about with regards to traditional trade routes extended throughout British Columbia as well along the coast. Between my people, the Niskat, ulekin was traded down the Nass River as well as the Skeena, connecting with Julian's people, the Dene. Reciprocity represents a guiding principle amongst many First Nations, particularly around the exchange of goods. Now Julian's going to go into a story to discuss further his intimate relationship with the Denizov territory.
So, I've been on this, I'm 32, so I'm not even really a youth anymore, although I still feel like one. Maybe an expanded, ever-evolving and expanding definition of a youth, maybe I am somewhere. So, you know, shout outs to people expanding that definition.
Or at the very least, an elder in training, always. Yeah,
I like that. But I've been on this lifelong journey to get a moose, because that really is, not only for Adonizah people, is that just this huge part of who we are, but it's this real rite of passage. And indeed, you know, everyone else in my family usually got their first moose when they were like a kid, and I've got plenty of deer and but I never had this, you know. And I've been around with my uncles and my family, and been through that process of getting a moose and the ceremony that goes with it and the community distribution that goes with it and all that processing and celebration and bringing together of family and community. because it really is this big, big thing. It really, for me, since I was a little kid, has really been what defines who we are and what we do. Anyway, I'm going off on another side tangent here, but back to the story. This past summer, I was back home, and my little brother Dakota was there, Asinu Mustus, and him and I were hunting together every day with my dad, Art. And I got a nice buck on the first day of hunting, a nice little spike fork buck, and once I butchered it up, I realized, ooh, you know, it's delicious, and I was so grateful, but it's not too much meat. So we decided to keep hunting because the whole extended family needed meat. And now, you know, it's people really turn to me, so not only do I have that personal desire, but there's that expectation. So we kept hunting every day for over a week, and we didn't see a single moose, you know, because the moose numbers are down, the moose are suffering, and that alone is kind of problematic for me, but we still have to honor that relationship. I think it's a part of it. As odd as it may sound, I feel like that's a part of sustainability for us in the moose, is to honor our relationship in that way. So it might seem counterintuitive, but that's a whole other dialogue. Anyway, whole week hunting hard, didn't see anything, and finally I gave up completely. I just let go. I said, you know what, this isn't the year. I need to do self-work, I need to do ceremony, I need to do prayer, I need to do offerings, and I need to get to that place where I'm deserved of that honor of having a moose come and offer itself to me, because in our Dene Zaa teachings, it's the animal that offers itself to you. It's not so much to do with your skill and ability, although that does play into it somewhat, but the real essence of that tradition of hunting is based on you being a good enough person and following your teachings in a way that the animals believe that they should offer themselves to you. So it's just really, it's a beautiful thing, I think, and I felt, wow, I got a lot of work to do still before I could get to that place, and I let go completely. And the next morning, my uncle called me up, my uncle Tom, and he said, hey, I found this incredible patch of blueberries, like, they're just hanging, and there's so much up there, and we got to go pick today. We probably won't see anything up there, there's not a lot of moose up there, but we'll just go pick berries. And, you know, since I had let go of hunting, it's like, yeah, of course. And we were having a fun time. We picked just tons of blueberries. Just like he said, we got up there and they were just the thickest I've ever seen. And we were in this one spot all day, just joking, telling stories, laughing, by no means being quiet. And it was kind of drizzling rain and late summer day in the north. And at the end of the day, we were just sitting in the truck and having a thermos of tea. And then a big, beautiful, dry cow moose just walked up right in front of us and stood there and looked at me. And I knew, you know, that was the time. That was the moment. And I got her. And, you know, from there the work started. But it was like the real significance of that for me was I went through this transition internally of letting go of that need to kill an animal, and instead getting to a place of just being out on the land with my family and just being who we're supposed to be and doing what we're supposed to do and being out there and celebrating being out there. And it was when I went to that place that she came to me. And I just really, like, I've been reflecting on that so much, and I feel like it's somehow encapsulates a part of our Dene Zaa worldview. Anyway, the blueberry jam I gifted you when you arrived, it was from the berries that I picked that day.
That was
was Julian Napoleon, a student in the Faculty of Land and Food Systems at UBC and a member of the Working Group for Indigenous Food Sovereignty. In the story, Julian develops a working relationship with the land and comes to an understanding of Dene'eza worldview. In that worldview, Julian helps to articulate a reciprocal relationship between his self, the land, and the moose. To conclude, this was a radio documentary on Indigenous food sovereignty highlighting Dene'eza practices and worldview. This is Mario from the Indigenous Collective at CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the unceded and ancestral territory of the Hunkaminiam-speaking Musqueam people.
Yeah, we haven't even been dating. Yeah, we haven't even been dangerous. Are we on the rise? You haven't even seen nothing yet. Turn it up where you're up.
We ain't not dangerous, us, but we can be dangerous. We ain't not dangerous, us, but we can be dangerous.
We ain't not dangerous, us, but we can be dangerous. We ain't not dangerous, us, but we can be dangerous.
We are so indigenous, us. Fully beat is glorious, us. Grand entry is glorious, us. Drumming is victorious, us. No one can stop us, nah. No one can stop us, nah. No one can stop us, nah. No one can stop us. We make a round. You feel the sound. It's about to go down.
Down.
You feel the sound.
The sound.
It's about to go down.
Down.
You feel the sound.
The sound.
We make a round.
Round.
It's about to go down.
Down.
We ain't not dangerous, us, but we can be dangerous. We ain't not dangerous, us. You can feel my lyrical, chant leader invisible. It is almost spiritual, manga invisible. We are the original, no one is identical. Mobilize digital, reclaim aboriginal. Resilience is on our side, overcame genocide. Time to be unified, overcame genocide. Time to be unified. We ain't not dangerous, us, but we can be dangerous. We ain't not dangerous, us, but we can be dangerous.
We ain't not dangerous, us, but we can be dangerous. We ain't not dangerous, us, but we can be dangerous.
We on the rise, it's perfect time. Tension is high on the front lines. We gotta take a stand. They try to take the land. You feel it in your core. We're the ones we've been waiting for. No one can stop us, nah. No one can stop us, nah. No one can stop us, nah. No one can stop us. We make the round. You feel the sound. Us, but we can be dangerous. We ain't not dangerous, us, but we can be dangerous. We ain't not dangerous, us, but we can be dangerous. We ain't not dangerous.
CITR 101.9 FM and Discorder Magazine are celebrating Asian heritage by telling notable stories of Asian Canadians.
Ujjo Dosung was born in Jalandhar, India in 1947 and moved to Vancouver at the age of 17. He learned English by editing a Punjabi newspaper, eventually earning a law degree at UBC. After practicing family and personal injury law in private practice, he was elected as MLA to Vancouver Kensington in 1991. From there, he became Attorney General in 1997 and Canada's first South Asian Premier in February of 2000.
For more information about how to celebrate Asian heritage in Vancouver, visit exploration.org. CITR 101.9 FM and Discorder Magazine are celebrating Asian heritage by telling notable stories of Asian Canadians.
Jim Chu was born and raised in East Vancouver in 1959, the oldest of four children of immigrants. He joined the Vancouver Police Department in 1979, a year after graduating from Sir Charles Tupper's secondary school. For his work in the VPD, he has received commendations from the Governor General and Simon Fraser University, and later oversaw policing during the 2010 Olympics and 2011 hockey riots. Recently, Chu has also become a firm advocate for better training for police officers to serve the mentally ill.
For more information about how to celebrate Asian heritage in Vancouver, visit exploration.org.
LGBTQ2I Night is a positive space for folks to learn about bike maintenance in a relaxed environment led by queer mechanics and volunteers. It takes place on the fourth Wednesday of every month at the Bike Kitchen on UBC's campus. Bring your own bike and fix them with our tools, come with questions and ask away, or learn by watching other folks work on their bikes. Beginners are always welcome. This event is entirely free to attend and there will be free pizza. For more information, visit bikecoop.ca.
Let's listen in as one poor soul tries to find something good to enjoy on the radio. Let's see here,
Everybody dance, dance. What, you don't like to dance? Everybody dance.
Ugh. Everybody. God, this is awful.
Well, I climbed up the mountain, climbed back down again for you. I climbed up the mountain again for you, and then I climbed back down, climbed up.
Ugh. Isn't there anything, 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 anything?
Listening to the radio these days can be distressing. Fortunately, here at CITR, our programmers choose the music that they play, so our charts reflect what people actually listen to. To find out what's really topping the charts, pick up a copy of Discorder magazine, or check us out online at citr.ca. Unless, of course, you'd rather keep listening to the chart-topping single, Everybody Dance.
What, you don't like to dance? Everybody dance. Everybody dance. Everybody dance, dance. What, you don't like to dance?
Tune in every Thursday from 11 p.m. till midnight for Copy and Paste with your host, Tim, a.k.a. Autonomy, the very best in underground dance music.
I'm Marie Bernard, host of Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Join me Mondays at noon as we explore the universal energy that connects us all. Let's discuss our journey of self-discovery.